we're up to Omer Rav Huna, which was one fifth of the way down. Omer Rav Huna, Bodak lan Rav Huna bar Chinana. We had a Bechina once from Rav Huna bar Chinana who asked us how we would pass in the following situations. Remember, we were in the middle of the sugya of nursing, what the chiyuvim are in terms of nursing a child after divorce, and at what stage it's considered to be a sakana to stop nursing. That was the last issue that we had. However, the very, very relevant, even in extremely contemporary terms, the issue of the value of nursing and the commitment of a woman to nursing and the desire for a husband to nurse, or people that don't feel it's classy to nurse, all of these issues, of course, existed in timeless, they're timeless issues. And so Rav Huna actually gave us a bechina. Rav Huna bar Chinana gave us a bechina. He omeret lahanik v'hu omer shelo lahanik. Suppose she wants to nurse her child. And he says, that's not classy, and your breasts are going to get out of shape, and I don't like it. So the din is over there, for sure, shomim lahanik. Because tsa'ara didahu, it's she who's going to suffer over there, if she's got a lot of milk and she can't nurse, and he doesn't have a right to tell her to go through pain. Okay, how about the other way? Hu omer lahanik, he's very much into the healthy nursing thing. And she's into the class act thing, and she doesn't want to nurse the baby. Now, how about over there? So, kolecha de lav urcha. Shom imla. In the case where in her family, it was never the minhag that the woman should do their own nursing. So then we accept her minhag. But suppose he urcha hu lav urche. How about if they have different minhagim? In her family, the minhag is that they used to nurse. And in his family, the minhag was that they would not. My. Bater did they azlinan or bater did da azlinan? I'm asking you what the halacha is over there, where she is saying she does not want to be a yoneket, and his family is not nohig to have women being minhag. But he's basically telling her, listen, don't start pulling this class business on me. I know where you come from. And back where you come from, this is what all the women do. Why shouldn't you do it now? So what about that? And that was the question that he asked us. Upashtinale, we brought him a raya from the following, which we've discussed before. Ola imo, veina yoredet imo. The halacha is that a woman always jumps up to the class of her husband, if he comes from a higher class menhagim than she does, but she doesn't go down to his level if she marries down. Omer avuna mikro. What is the mekor for that neter? Where's the remez for that? Well, in the story of Sarah, it says, v'hi bu'ulat ba'al. So it says there that, ha'isha shalakachta, hi bu'ulat ba'al. How come you're taking this way? How come you're taking... So that means ba'aliyato shel ba'al, v'lo birato shel ba'al. Why does it say a lashon of ba'al? Why doesn't it just say yesh esish? So it's talking about the concept of aliyah that's involved in ba'alut. Very interesting. So a husband also means to bring up. Okay, so that means that there's only a concept of aliyah. Rab Elazar Amar Mihacha. Look all the way back at the definition of chava. Ki yi haita eim kol chai. So what it's saying, eim kol chai, means that the relationship that we have to women is that l'chayim nitna v'lo l'tzar nitna. In naming a woman this, so what you're saying is that her function is living. So whatever she does for life, but living is like we say today, to live it up. So that means that she was not given to a husband to cause her to be mitzvah. This is not what she wants to do, and there's a makar for it. So that means that we don't say that because now she has these benhagim, we can insist that she should be tzar. The relationship to the woman is l'chayim. And if I can offer her that additional chayim, then that's what I have to give.
No, it's a tzar to separate the
first. As opposed to the pain. Okay, that's very, very good. That guy was good. Yeah, he was. There's a beautiful Pnei Yoshua who explains the Diak and Eim Kol Chai. How could she be called Eim Kol Chai? She wasn't the mother of Adam Arishon, was she? And nonetheless, she's viewed as the aim of all alive. So it must be that she's the aim of in the sense of being above him. In which case, it proves that she would always be, at the very least, Ola Imo. She would certainly never go down. She remains above the Adam. There's also an amazing tshuva from the Tashbat, bases this on the, partially on the this Gemara, in the Diak of L'chaim Nitna V'lo L'tzar, in which he had a question of a woman whose husband was making her life absolutely miserable, to the point where he disgusts her, she can't be around him. And he's well known to be an absolutely horrible individual. So he paskin that we force him to give a get and to force him to give her a ksuva, because it says l'chaim nitna velo letzar, and that's learned out from the Torah. That he hayta im kochai, and it's absolutely clear that a woman is never ever forced to continue to live with somebody that is terrible. And he writes that, and even though people bring me tshuvas from the greatest gedolim, that they can't force a husband who makes a wife miserable to give her a divorce. What do you think we are? We're just katlikani biagma, which is, you know, the way the Gemara refers to somebody who spends his life just living in the marshes. He says, this is a milsu to tell you this far. I don't have to follow precedent. I think that if it would be their own daughter, believe me, they wouldn't be saying that she should stay there. And he brings a tshuva of the Rashba that agrees. And he says that if a dayan forces her to go back to her husband, he says, that's acting like the Arabs. And we put that dayan into cherem. Very beautiful tshuva. So we went through stages in the mission. One shifcha, we cancel X. Two shifchas, we cancel Y. And so on and so forth. Now, this doesn't really make sense. I mean, so we're saying really that one woman does the work of like four shifchot? Is that what we're saying? Well, why can't she say that if I hire a shifcha, well, if I hired a shifcha, you've got another woman. What's this kind of business? What do you mean? You're supposed to do more than a shifcha? Well, Hashara Abbas, you're telling me that she brings in a shifcha, so then we only cancel the most obvious level, the most difficult work. I understand. But everything else she's going to be doing? V'temole, why can't she say to him, listen here, Ayalit lecha, itita b'charikoi. I have brought you another woman to take my place, whatever I was going to do, let this woman do. How come she has to now say, no, she's only good for washing? Why is she only good for washing? That's because Mishum da'amar la, the husband can tell her, now hold on, when you were working in the house without the shifcha, you were working, obviously, for yourself, you still have to take care of your own needs, and mine. So in other words, that means that you had enough energy to take care of two people. But now that the shifcha is there, there's three people. So she's got to be working for two people just to take care of me. How about your portion? You got to work to take care of your portion. So therefore, he can tell her, look, you're right, she's enough to do the work for me and for herself. But kabididak mantarach, who's taking care of your stuff? So somebody can have to do your laundry. Right? So that means you need to participate in the other elements to make up for the time so that she can do these difficult malachot. Okay. Two, she doesn't have to cook, right? And she doesn't have to nurse. Okay, but she still has to do everything else. Now, wait a second. Now she's got the original one. And now she's got the second one who can also do the work for two, right? So the first one does the work for the husband and for herself. The second one does the work for the wife and for herself. So what's the taina now? Why does she still have to work? Why can't she not tell her husband, okay, but now I brought another one, who's going to deal with the other two people in this household? Herself and me. So one is for me and one is for the ledidah, one is for you and for her. Ah, because then he says, who's going to take care of all of these passerbys and all the guests that come into the house all the time? Who's going to do that kind of work? So therefore, it's part of the additional responsibility of the woman in the household to take care of the guests, which is a phenomena that's well recognized. And that's something that women put themselves out to, especially, and she is the balat habayit, and that's entertainment. You can't expect a shifcha to handle the entertainment that the balat habayit handles. Sure. Shalosh, I mean, in the sense that you don't do it like the Mishnah was mechalik between a rechaim shayad and a bringing to the rechaim. She certainly doesn't have to rub the clothes herself. She can allow the washing machine to rub it. But she can't tell her husband, okay, now we have a washing machine, you put it in the washing machine, right? I mean, No, seriously, that was the case. That's exactly what we opened up with. A portable mixer or in our terms, this kind of washing machine or taking it into the laundromat. I mean, they're different, different levels of tircha. But if you've got a machine, it's no different than the machine that they use for the matchanot. It was a water-powered machine, it was a donkey-powered machine. So although she doesn't have to provide the power, she still has to go through the tircha of putting it into the machine, taking it out of the machine. Yeah, so the mission discusses machines. Well, as we're going to see, you're basically in a losing battle. Because the Gemara recognizes the fact, even though it puts it into a particular way that's nogea in their time, the Gemara recognizes the fact that the greater the level of the life in the household, the greater the needs are to take care of it. So it's basically a losing battle. Women have much less time now that they have all of these machines and all that, much less time than they used to have. Because the expectations are so much more complex. I mean, so now you also got to do carpool. I mean, who's going to be doing the carpool? You know? So this is the Gemara is going to get to. So shalosh, you've got three. So now, ena matzat hamita. Okay, but the little things you're saying are shara avda. So why is that? Now v'temeli ayalet lach achriti. Now we've got yet another shifcha. And this one is going to take care. Let's put her aside, theoretically, in other words. Let's put her aside just for the guests. So now we've got somebody taking the guests. Somebody take care of you, somebody take care of me. Obviously, it doesn't mean literally that we're miyachid or for that. But it means if you consider the work that needs to be done in this household, it's covered by these three women. Why am I working? Mishum da'amar le'eh, because he tells her, wait a minute. That was back in the old house where we had just one shivcha, two shvachas, but how many people would come into a house like that? Now everybody knows this is like a high-class home. People are knocking on the door all the time. Now we need another shivcha. So basically you're in a losing battle. Exactly. By the way, Tosfos asks that. Tosfos says, but none of this makes sense. Who is supporting these shifras? It's all very nice that he's bringing her in. Who's paying for the upkeep? Are we going to say that she also has a bank account to pay for the upkeep? I mean, that's not the mashmaut. So you're saying that she could be mechayevet him to take care of all of these shifras? How does that work? He leaves that question hanging. But as Abba knows well, the more available you make things, the more people come along and make themselves available.
First license in San Francisco, World War II, every soldier knew. I think he was connected very strongly.
I didn't hear the name that you said.
First license.
Oh,
Everybody knew Run, you know.
So he says to her, look, the fish b'nei beita and the fish orchei uparchei. The more people are in the household with these servants, the more people drop in. So then this is a losing battle. I mean, isn't there a point at which it becomes hopeless? The more you got, the more you need. So then why does the Mishnah say if you reach four already, then she's Yoshev and Pekatedra? It doesn't make any sense. You should be saying that this is a geometric progression. And here the Gemara comes up with the most astonishing, again, contemporary idea, absolutely appellate. The Gemara says there's a concept called synergy. Once you reach a level of synergetic interaction between the Shvachot, they catch up with the growing needs that are geometrically growing, but synergy provides also a geometric extension of the shivcha.
The law of increasing returns.
Yeah. In a sense, it relates to that, right? So says the Gemara, once you reach four, this is amazing. So arba, kiven the nefishel hu misayana adadi. Once you've got four, there's enough people there that they start interacting, and now it's a team. Now they help each other with this one's needs, and so it's at that point you catch up with the increasing needs of the household. How flew the fellow? Right, so obviously, four shvachot do more than four times one. That's the point. And so there you reach a stage in which, you know, tavim ashnayim and echad, achutam ishulash lobi meri and atek, but arba, yoshevet bekatedra. So this is a whole new darga. Omer of Chana vitem rushvu bar nachmeni, when we say hichnisalo, what does that mean? That she actually comes into the marriage with an entourage of shvachot? No. It doesn't mean she literally has to bring it in. What we're talking about over here is not that she mamish had them with her, but that basically she brought in so much property and so much hashivas into the household that indeed she would have been capable if she hadn't used the money to bring to her husband all this beautiful new stuff for his house. So then she would have been ruling it to use that money to buy the shvachot. So that's what it means. In other words, we analyze the level of her participation in the marriage. In the Yerushalmi, it's clear that we need to additionally consider the level that the husband is on. And if in his social strata, it is the way of the norm to have shvachot in the bayit, those number of shvachot is part of what he is supposed to have in his home, and that's part of what we'll see later is called ola imo, the inayoredet imo. There's also a braita that says something more remarkable. Actually, not only does she only get the rights to the shifcha if it's money that she brought into the marriage, but if there's an ability that she has to cut the expenses that she was ruya to have. Let's say that normally speaking, she would have had the right in terms of her mezainas to have Starbucks coffee every day. So she says, you know what, I'm going to go without my Starbucks for a whole year and use that money to buy a shifcha. Good deal. So she can do that. She's mitzamtzemet from the things that were roy for her to have. And she can use that money to buy the shifra to get herself out of this pickle of constantly running to catch up with the laundry. Arba yoshevet b'katedra, Om Rav Yitzchak bar Chananya, Om Rav Huna, afa pisha omru yoshevet b'katedra. Even though it's true that we say she doesn't have to do anything, that's in terms of work. But there's also relationship things that are done, which just encourage intimacy and warm relations. And obviously, that's not a function of a shifcha. You can't have a shifcha do the kind of things that a wife is supposed to do as part of her intimate connection to her husband. So therefore, mozeget lokos, she still pours this glass of wine for him. Matzat lo tamita, and she also is supposed to make the linen beautiful on the bed and to make it look roy for the two of them to be together in. Umrachetzet lo panav yadav raglav, and obviously she takes care of him in his bath and washes his body for him and so on. As we all know, every woman is no egg. I think things seem to have changed a bit. Right, right, exactly. They don't even allow you to read about the geishas. They're so worried about it. Omer of Yitzchak Bar Chanan, Omer of Huna, Kol melachot shayisha osala ba'ala nida osala ba'ala. Actually, although we're interested in discouraging the relationship between a woman who's a nida and her husband, but things in the house that she would do and clean up in front of him and so on, that's okay. The only three things that we wouldn't allow her to do because they are so suggestive of intimacy, this chutz b'mizigat hakos, v'yatzat amita, v'rachatzat panav yadav v'raglav, as we just had. Now this, I mentioned to you earlier, we've spoken about this in other contexts, I mentioned to you that this is not necessarily rachatzat panav yadav v'raglav, doesn't mean that touching would be mutter under other circumstances. Over here it would mean, even though it's b'nei nidata, to hand him the soap or a sponge and so on. So it doesn't necessarily mean that if it wouldn't be for the specific nature of the intimacy of washing, that there's no issur in touching. That the beforeship speak out. But so over here, these three things, however they would otherwise be mutter, are nonetheless awesome. Now this thing that we said about making the bed beautiful, says Rav, it doesn't mean she doesn't make the beds. It means in his presence, because that's very suggestive. Again, matzat amita, as we brought earlier from the Tosfos, is to make it very beautiful. We were speaking about her chiyuvim. So that's to enrich the bed experience, so to speak. So that's only b'fanav, avos shelo b'fanav, letlan, but we don't have a problem if it is shelo b'fanav, because that's not considered to be an act of chiba. The act of chiba is that it's there in front of him.
So making the bed is preparing the bed.
Yeah, preparing the bed, exactly. Mizigata kos. Now we said she can't pour your cup for you. But actually, what happens here is not that she can't pour a cup at all, but rather that it has to be done in such a way that makes it evident that things are not meant to be intimate. So let's say Shmuel, how was he knowing in his house? So when his wife was Anida, Michlefa le devitu biyada de smala. So instead of using her right hand, which was the norm, she put it in her left hand and switched the directions, and that way he would remember that what she's doing is now more not meant to be intimate, it's meant just to take care of his immediate needs. Abaye, Machla Puminakuva. And Abaye's wife, what she would do is she would set the cup down instead of nicely to do the mezigah in front of him, and that's part of the whole geisha thing. It's very interesting that the tea ceremony is mamish intimacy, but every nekuda is very important in the tea ceremony. So the mezigata kos, it's supposed to be in front of him to be poured nicely and so on. So she would take it and put it on top of the barrel, mix it there. Mezigah, they would mix a certain amount of water into the wine, and then it was very clear that, I mean, that's not a nice way of doing things. So it was clear that it wasn't meant to be a sign of intimacy. And by Rava and his household, they used to put it on Besadia. Instead of putting it on the little serving table, in those days they used to lie down while eating. Instead of putting it on the serving table, she would put it on the top of the couch above where he was sitting, which is also, I mean, it's inconvenient and it's not the way that you would normally serve. Rav Papa and his household, they would put it on a stool, a sharshifa. So instead of serving it on a table, so it was obvious if you had to go pick it up from the stool. So it wasn't meant to be intimate. There's an interesting other approach, which is brought in Argos Oshari, who brings Rabbeinu Shmuel, that all of these halachas of not touching a woman or utilizing a woman, and so on, all of these are when it's not in terms of her job acting as a geisha, acting as a shivcha. Under those circumstances, this is her job. You can have a woman that takes care of you in the bath. You can have a woman who gives you a haircut, and so on and so forth.
So in which case, some want to say, although I don't believe it for a moment, but some want to say that would be true about the Nida as well, that if she was merachetzet, not derech chiba, there wouldn't be any yisr. But, you know, I don't think that that's at all what he meant. He's only talking about the general question of touching a woman. Touching your own wife who is a Nida is much more chomer than that, and therefore it's irrelevant to our sugya. But it's certainly an interesting approach. And he has an interesting raya. It brings a raya from Avigail, because Avigail washed, she said it would wash your feet. And that's talking about the act of a shivcha, to show her commitment to David. Now, it's also important to note that this should not, all of these last in Yonim should not be confused with the elements that we spoke about in the Mishnah. These things are not issues of work. These are issues of intimacy. And there's nothing to do with the, when it says in the Mishnah she has to make the beds, that's talking about intimate beds. It's talking about the beds in the house. And over there, that's part of her job. Over here, you can't force her. It's obviously not very intimate to insist that she does things that are supposedly intimate, and she's sitting there moaning and groaning about in chains. However, as Rashi says, this is like an Eitzah Tova, that the Chachomim say this is what a woman should be doing, because it encourages love and connection.
Omer of Yitzchak Bar Chananya, Omer of Una. There's other inyanim of Derech Eretz. Once already we're talking about questions of how you have to worry about the person who is serving. What we've been talking about over here is the encouragement of intimacy. But there's other elements that are involved that have nothing to do with intimacy, and that have to do with Stam Derech Eretz. Somebody is serving you. He's hired to serve you. The question is, he hasn't eaten, and it's pretty tough for him to be sitting there watching you eat. So what, is he supposed to wait until after the meal, then go into the kitchen, have something to eat? How does that work? Says Rav Huna, Hakol Mashin, Lifnei HaShamash. There's no problem. Normally, foods can be left, and you can sit there and have the guy wait, and he doesn't necessarily have to eat right away until everybody leaves. Except Chutz Mibosar V'Yayin. Rav Kist explains, I'm talking about Bosar Shamein. Really, Gishmak of meat. I mean, it's completely irresistible. The guy's going to die. He's watching you eating this delicious steak, and he can't have anything. And Yayin, we're talking about Yayin Yashan, which is also very pungent. On my Rava, Bazer Shamein, that's Kala Shana Kula. I mean, a steak will turn you on winter or summer. But Yayin Shamein, that only will... Yayin Yashan, sorry. Yayin, what did I say, Shamein with the Yayin? Yayin Yashan is talking about Bitkufas Tamuz. I mean, where it's irresistible is when you're really thirsty in the middle of the summer. What do you want for your thirst? I mean, did you see those ads where they pour you straight out of that Yayin Yashan into that bubbly glass, right? I mean, a good cup of champagne, isn't that... That wasn't champagne, ice cold, no? All right, well, more has changed. Omer Ravanan bar Tachlifa. Ravanan bar Tachlifa says, Avika'imna kameda ma Shmuel. Well, I had a real tsara once. I was sitting there, I was serving by my Shmuel. V'aisaleh tafshileh da'ardeh. They brought him these portobello mushrooms. Oh, my God. Thank God he did this. If he hadn't given me some, I'll tell you, I would have fainted right there. He stopped me. My life would have been in danger. Omer Rav Ashi, Avakeimna, Kameh de Rav Kana. Look, I'm telling you, I once had a mice like that. I was standing by Rav Kana. Vaitzvei Garlide de Lifta Bechala. They bought him one of those turnip bean salads in the vinegar. Oh, God, I couldn't take it. He loved the Yoyvathe. Thank God they gave me a little bit. If he hadn't given me some, I would have fainted right on the spot. He's stuck me. Rav Papa Omer, it really doesn't have to be anything that fancy. Afila Tamarta de Hununita. They have these really rich and sweet. Dates. Even that. Kolo the milta, kol dihitai reicha. Anything that is very pungent. So the smell is overwhelming. Rashi's gears apparently was or, it's vav in the sense of or. Vihitai kiyua, or anything that has that sharpness to it, that tang, so it's tangy, it's pungent. That's something that can endanger or cause great sar to the shamash. And that you have to give him. You can't expect him to wait till the end of the Seuda. By the way, you know, it's very interesting that people were much more sensitive at that time. Much, much more sensitive. I mean, the whole idea of bulmos and so on was very, very common. And it's like in Victorian times, women actually used to faint. They didn't pretend to faint. I mean, you would say something inappropriate, they would faint. This is ridiculous. There are changes in the way that the people relate to things. In those days, food meant an awful lot more than it meant today. It wasn't just sour. He was saying literally, I would have died.
What did Mishabashi
eat before? Oh, in Rafinami, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
What?
Asrid,
Kiyua? Yeah. What did I use this time?
Sharpness.
No, I didn't. Tangy. Yeah, I think tangy was more. Kiyua does mean literally. It's like vinegary.
It's an aser then.
Shamus has to get from that food, or he just has to have food?
No, this food. This food is killing him. What are you going to give him? You're going to give him a turnip while everybody's eating the steak? Now, Abu Bar'i, you mean Yomi Bar'i. Here you had two people that were very brought up the same way, very close. But what happened is they had different in how they would treat the Shamash. So this is Mamash Sabajash's issue. Chat Safi Mikol Mina Vamina. One would give the Shamash from every different thing that he was eating. Because maybe this thing is turning him on, it's not enough for the other thing. And Chat Safi Mikol Mina. The other one said, well, what's enough Kamina? Just get him, make sure he has enough to eat. What's the difference? He has to have every single thing that I have. Mar Mishtoy Eliyahu, the one who gave everything to the Shamash, Eliyahu HaNavi used to speak to him. The other one, Eliyahu HaNavi refused to speak to him. Mar lo Mishtoy Eliyahu HaNavi. There was another Maisa, Hanatartan Chaside came from Rav Chista, it must have been Chaside. So this was Rav Mori and Rav Pinchas, both of them were Rav Chista. So Mar Kodim Sofi, this is as our president just pointed out, one used to give now before he would eat himself, he would make sure that the Shamash ate. Umar ma'achav esofi. And the other one would give only after people ate. So man, over here, said the kodim sofi eliyo mishtoi badeh. The one who would give the shamash first, eliyo would speak to. The ma'achav esofi lo mishtoi eliyo badeh. Eliyo would not speak to the other one. He wasn't sensitive to the other person's tzar. He didn't deserve a gili eliyo.
That must be the record for you going to an Israeli wedding, and the waiters are eating all the time. They're walking as they're chewing as they're carrying.
It's definitely the height of their hearts. Amemar, Marzutra, and Ravash were koi apitcha deve Asgur Malka. There they were in front of Asgur Malka, and they were watching the people bring in all of this food. And cholef azel aturnega de Malka. So the maitre d' with the guy, he was bringing in all of this stuff, and they're wheeling it in, and they're, oh my God, they're standing over there. They're dying. So he sees, Chazer, Ravash, and Marzutra, he sees Marzutra turning white. He was obviously about to faint. So Shokal Betzbaotei, I mean, this is really a disaster. He sticks his finger into the food as it's passing by. God. And Onach Levapum, and he sticks his finger into Marzutra's mouth so he should have a little bit of the food, then he shouldn't faint. Right. Very good. Omar Lay, so the maitre d' was furious. You've said it to the Sudas of the Mongol. You're crazy. The king's going to eat for this now. You stuck your dirty finger in there. You're out of your mind. Now, this, of course, is a pretty dangerous situation. I mean, you can get killed for doing this. So, Omar Lay, so the cops came. They said, Amait Abidach, what possible excuse does this nutty Jew have for doing this? Omar Lahu, so Ravashi says, listen here, gentlemen. Just cool it. A chef that cooks this kind of stuff, he's the guy that should be shot. This stuff is not suitable for the king. And I just wanted to make sure he wasn't going to eat it. That's best thinking of it. All right, we've heard all kinds of excuses. Okay, tell us, what exactly happens to be wrong with this food? Looks pretty good to us. Omulei amai. Amalahu. So he says to them, Dover Acher Chazoybe, this guy has got an infected piece of hog in there. Freakonosis. God only knows what he's going to do to the king. I saved his life. I deserve a medal. But Kulu Ashkechu says, all right, they bring in the vet. They check all the food. They got it under the microscope. They don't find anything there. So they say, what's going on? There ain't no such thing. He takes his finger again. he puts it in, and he points, and says, right here, did you check that? Shaklat's bode anachalay. Omalu, hochami batikitu, did you check that? So they took their batku, put it under the microscope, and sure enough, he was right. Batikitu. And Ashku, we can't interrupt this story. Omrulay, Rabbanan, so I mean, this was, okay, so Nase happened basically and saved his life for this vices. Rabbanan, my time is a machta nisa. You have no right to be saying on a nace to do something like that. I mean, there's a bigger sakana even than the sakana that Marzutra was in. Amarlu chazoi ruach tzaras tekopar chaluya. Some learn this means, I don't believe that's the trap, but some learn that it means that I saw that Marzutra was affected by a ruach that was going to give him tzarat if he wouldn't eat. It's very unreasonable. The portion of pshat is that I knew already, it wasn't that I'm saying on a nace. I already had a gilui that the nest was done. I saw that indeed, as they came running over the cops,
So I saw clearly that it really was there. It's not that I stam assumed I'll stick my finger anywhere and God's going to save me. So I saw remez already that that was there in order to be matzah me from the matzah. The question then is, if that's the case, then why initially? What do you think was going to happen? They would notice. That part isn't clear. What level of sakana marzutra allowed him to put himself into a matzah of sakana? That already depends how you understand the sugya. Who was in greater sakana over here? But it's definitely a beautiful story. And definitely, I mean, this is the fastest thinking since Rabavi. With the tefillin. Yeah, no, in Bava, but it was one of the Persians.
He's
done.
The Persian king was seen before.
Yeah. Ahu Roma'a, the Amar Leilahi Intita. There was a certain Roman. You know, it doesn't matter. It was a sakana. That was clear that it was a sakana. It was a sakana. It was mutter to do. The question is, was it mutter to put his life in danger? Remember, in those days when you didn't eat, you died. It's not like we don't know what food is. You know. Once in a while, you'll go to a place and suddenly you'll go, my God, food tastes like this. What have I been missing? But basically, we no longer have that kind of connection to the world. There was a Roman that wanted to marry this certain woman. So he kept telling her, Minasavatli, okay, come on, we're going to get married. Amalei lo. He's never going to marry you. So Ozil Aite Rimon, he went and he brought these delicious pomegranates. Now listen, anybody can get turned on by a pomegranate. Obviously has a completely different way of living than we have, or different pomegranates. I mean, gishmak, yes, but adkadekach. So he brings a pomegranate and he peels the pomegranate, Pali. And he starts eating piece by piece, ochel kama. Now this woman starts going crazy. He's not going to give her a piece of pomegranate, okay? So kol maya detzarela, she starts salivating. And she doesn't want to show that she's salivating. And she is swallowing and swallowing. Until finally, v'lo havla, he doesn't give her anything. Ad de zagla, until she's finally, she is so stretched out by this, that her skin actually turns transparent. She's about to die. L'sofa marla, so he says, you don't seem to be doing too well. I mean, I could either call the hospital, or I could cure you. Imasinala. Mean not specifically, but if I take care of you, you marry me? Yes, anything you say. Samalayim. So Ozil Aisiri money brings another one of these pomegranates, okay? Pali, and he peels it, and he starts eating it again. He says, okay, now this time, you have to spit out any saliva that comes. Go maya that sari lach, tuf shadoi, just spit as I eat. Ad the nafka minaki, hutsa yarka, vitsia. Until finally, the last bits of her tsar came out like a green leaf. She spit out, and then she was cured. Now again, now it seems pretty clear from the story that this idea of making sure that if somebody is sensitive to not having food, that you should take care of them, that's not just a halacha in the person that's working for you, which was the original opening of the sugya, but rather that this is a halacha. If you see somebody who may be in pain because of food, you should take care of them, even though it talks about a shamash, and maybe because that's the norm, but that if you see it not in the case of a shamash, you also have to do it. And it's interesting that the Mishnah Berurah brings in the Bir Halacha. Maybe this is the Gemara, the basis of the minhag that we find all over Klal Yisrael. If somebody walks into a house at the time that you're eating, they're always invited in to drink. The Osah Betzemer. Okay, the other thing we said that a woman has to do is that she's got to work in wool. Now, it's interesting because, I mean, a model to use the wool is, it must be bedafka. I mean, there's lots of things that a woman can work in. Saying she works in making woolen threads. So what does that mean? Bedafka wool, in other words. We would not be machai of her to do something that is more difficult than working with wool. So that's betzemer in, but the pishtim lo. She doesn't work with linen. Masnisin, I mean, what about dorsha tzemer u'pishtim? Oh, so masnisin money rebuting. Titania enokufa. Even though we talked about all of the different things that he can expect his wife to do, but enokufa lo la'amod lifnei aviv, lo la'amod lifnei beno. She is not responsible to take care of people that are going to be around the house all the time. Orchei v'parchei, yes, people that come in, okay, they're not moving in. But, you know, I mean, his son from another marriage is hanging around out there. She's got to take care of the teenagers. No way. And the Rebbe, he's the worst. Constantly coming in, going to the refrigerator, let somebody else take care of him. So that she's not responsible for. V'lo liten teven lifnei be'emto. So this is
different girsaot that understand the issues differently. So the girsa that we have, the way that we understand this, if we use this girsa, is that the issues over here that are being raised are to expose her to sexual abuse. Because if she deals with animals, so if you're talking about to deal with cows, obviously she's not going to be raped by a cow, nor is she going to get turned on to a cow. But if you're talking about his riding animals, so over there you have male animals, and we don't expect a woman to be around these male animals. Either because she could get turned on to them, which is very common, actually, in the Kinsey reports. Something like 80% of people that live around around those kind of animals actually sleep with the animals. It's extremely common. No, in farms, you're talking about. Yeah. All right, maybe, I don't know, but unbelievably more common than
Arkansas.
In Arkansas. I said, I would imagine. Right? But in any event, I mean, this is considered to be a normal type of danger, so we don't expose her to that kind of danger. Okay, there are other girsaot which has to do with the question of either the tircha, how much tircha can should be expected, or is it nogea the household? So I mean, if you're talking about things that work for the household, the milk, I mean, so she's got to take care of the cows that you're milking, that type of thing, yes. But the additional things that are the fancy things that she doesn't get enough from in the household, those things not. Again, there's different ways of understanding what the issues are over here. And furthermore, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and this is why we're bringing in the whole braita, is to get to Rabbi Yehuda, who says, "Af eino kufar la'asot bepishta." Also, he cannot force a woman to work with linen. Why is this? Mipnei shepishtan masriach et hapeh u'misharvet et hasfatayim. The derech of making thread is that you still see this today. For people are sewing, they have to wet the thread at the tip in order to open it. For spinning, they would wet the tip. And that pishtam gives you a terrible smell, as opposed to wool. And also, it tends to lengthen the lips by constantly scratching and causing bleeding, and it makes her not pretty. And that, he can't be mechayever to do. Now, not all linen is like this, but the Roman linen is that way. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, afilu ichnisalo me'ashvachot. I don't care what the issue is over here. I don't care if she's got 100 shvachot. There's no way that she doesn't have to do these things, because ultimately she's going to end up destroying her life. And we'll see later on in the Gemara what the two shitas between Rabbi Eliezer and Shimon Gamliel. Omre Malki, Omre Avada Barava, Halacha Kerev Eliezer. This is how we pasken, that she definitely is going to have to do these basic malachas, because otherwise she's going to end up now in a matzav of zima. Omre Malki, okay. Now that's Remalkio. Omer of Chanina, Bereder of Ika, once the Gemara does this every single time we bring up a psak, either by Remalkia or Remalkia. And that's because the two of them, the names sound so similar, that in order to keep the six shmuas that they argue in clear, we want to review each time who said what. So we just claimed that our Mishnah, Barich Nisalo Shvachot, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. What the nafkamina is between Rabbi Eliezer and Shimon ben Gamliel about that it's Bidei Zima or that it's that it makes her a Shimum, that we'll see what the machlokas is. But in any event, we pasken like Rabbi Eliezer. Here, Tosfos actually bothered, this is for Barnea's information, Tosfos is bothered by the fact that we pasken always halacha kameisei, like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, keneged Rabbi Eliezer. So why are we pasken like Rabbi Eliezer? And he says we're not referring to the Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who was the contemporary of Rabbi Eliezer, when we say halacha kamosa. A very important point. If we would sing this as a machlokas, which Gemara will explain in a minute. So therefore comes along Rabbi Chanina to clarify which sugyas were said by which mandiyomer, Rav Malkio or Rav Malkia. So the question is, first of all, we have the paskin of Shpod. We spoke about this again many times when we got over there. Shaila about the classification legabe mukta, after using a Shpod, whether you're allowed to move it aside, Shaloka Derech, and our Mishnah of Shvachot, and the sugya of Nida, which talks about whether a hair follicle is sufficient raya for puberty, as opposed to an actual hair. That was all said by Rav Malkio. Belurit, which is the din that when somebody is shaving a Oved Avodah Zorah, so a guy's got a Hare Krishna haircut, so he, as the barber, is not allowed to support that type of thing, that belurit. So he has to be Meshamet Yado. So over there, the Remalkio said, that three etzpaot is the shear that you have to keep your hand away. Efer Mikla, there's also another halacha not to use. We use activated charcoal for cleaning purposes or filtering purposes. They recognized the value of charcoal. They would put it on a wound.
So he said, Rav Malkiel, that the, or Rav Malkiel, we'll see, he said that a mikveh, if you put it on an open wound, will end up making a mark, and until the mark goes away, people will think that you tattooed, and therefore it's us, because it looks like a ketovet ka'aka, it gets under the skin. So that was said by Rav Malkiel, and the din of Gvina, Rav Malkiel explained that the gezera of Gvina's akum was because of the chazer fat that spread over the top of the Gvina. That was all said by Rav Malkiel. Rav Papa says, no, it's not like you're saying. It's the matnitin u'matnita Rav Malkiel, and shmaitita Rav Malkiel. The way to remember correctly is that the things above that are mishnas, like shvakot that we just had, that was said by Rav Malkiel. But the things that were discussions of shmaitita between the Amoroim, those things were said by Rav Malkiel. V'simanecha matnita malkita. The way to remember is that the queen is always the Mishnah and the Braita. And everything else is secondary to that. Malkiyah, as opposed to Malkiyo, is a Lashon Nekeva, which is Malchut. And therefore, you can remember that the Malchut goes to the Malchut Rav. That's how to remember it. My Beinayu, what would be the difference between the Simen that Rav Papa gives over here and the way we read it? The Nafkanin would be Shvachot. Because according to Rav Papa, Shvachot is a Mishnah, and you claim that as a Mishnah, nonetheless, it was said by Rav Malkiyah. I'm saying that's not true. It was said by Rav Malkiyah. Now, there's another problem, and that is that also, Efer Mikla had nothing to do with the Mishnah. That was just a statement. It was a Shmaitita. So that should also be a difference between them, and yet it doesn't say that's the difference between them. Yeah? So some learn what we're saying over here is, what is the difference between, that's the way I said it over, what is the difference between them in view of this simon? The Tosfos points out, we're only talking about the simon he made, he didn't talk about the Shmaitita. He only talked about the simon. The simon was Matnita Malkata. Which one is the Matnita that makes the difference? That is the case of Shvachot, that should go to a Malkiyah. But that doesn't mean that there aren't other differences. Some learn that that's not the Pshat. The Pshat is, you have a list of three, as opposed to a list of three. So the Shvachot is connected to Efer Mikla. Therefore, what it's saying is, what's the nafkamina between them? The exchange of Efer Mikla to Shvachot. That's how others learn. Tosis himself learns that the Pshat is that since we only brought a simon in this direction, this is the only direction that we care about. Meaning, I'm not saying that it has to be that the Shemaitata is Rav Malkiel. I'm saying that Mishnayos has to be Rav Malkiel. The other thing that could be that he also said things that are not Mishnayos. So it could be that in Efer Mikla we have four against two instead of three against three. For the Shmuts. Okay, next thing we had was Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. On the surface, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel seems to be saying the same thing. I mean, the Mishnah says, I don't care, you got 100 shvachot, I don't care, it's going to be Beveli de Zima. He says, I don't care, it's going to bring her to She'imun. Well, what's the difference? I know Tanakam, isn't that exactly the same sack? What's enough? I mean, if it's She'imun or Zima, they're saying the same thing. You can't make a woman crazy. No. It's a big difference. Or Venachir. Nafkamina will be, how about if she's got what to do? She's got a whole collection of these little dogs. Spends her whole life on these dogs, taking them to shows, putting them up. Or she pays bridge. Venachir. She pays bridge. She spends her whole life playing bridge. So if you're telling me she's going to go mad, she won't go mad. She's got things to keep her occupied. Bridge keeps her occupied. The doggies keep her occupied. But she's sure going to have her mind on the boys. It's going to be making the Zima. Mashenkin, she doesn't even have bridge. So what are we concerned about? Are we concerned about Shigaon? That you're not going to have. If you're concerned about Zima, that you are going to have. So it makes a big nafkamina. Hamadir tishtomi tashmish amita. Suppose a man asers his wife, how can he do this? He himself is Mokliya to sleep with his wife. So what he does is he asers the pleasure of sex on himself. That he can do. Now we're not b'chayv the person to do something that is aser on him. So then it turns out he can't sleep with his wife. Beit Shammai Omrim, Shtei Shabbatot. Maximum such a situation can hold out, 2 weeks. Beit Hillel Omrim, Shabbat Achak, 1 week. Which leads us to the other question of other things that might be done to deprive one's wife of intimacy. A guy wants to go to yeshiva, leaving his wife at home. How long can he go to yeshiva? So Hatalmidim Yotzim Talmud Torah Imen Shelo Bereshut. They don't even have to get permission from their wives for 30 days at a time. A Poalim, people that work, they can go away now
for Shabbat Achat. Ha'ona ha'amura ba'Torah. So when the Torah is machayev she'er ksut va'ona, assuming that we're learning, remember we had a machlokas earlier, but assuming that we're learning that it's the frequency of relations, so hatayalin, the people that don't have any work to do, they have to sleep with these women, with their wives, b'chol yom. Ha'poalin, people that do have jobs and they work and they're tired, shtayim b'shabbat, twice a week. Chamarin, those people are, they move around in the truck, they're truckers, and they come home, so achat b'shabbat. Gamlan, the people who drive, the camel drivers, they go on caravans, that's expected, achat b'shloshim yom. Sapanim, where sailors can go away on long sea voyages, achat b'shisha chodashim. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer.
This is arrangement made with the wife from the
beginning? It's the understanding. Yeah. So my time at the Beit Shammai, why does Beit Shammai say 2 weeks? Because he says the Torah gives you a 2 week. If somebody has a baby, a female baby, she's not allowed to sleep with her husband for 2 weeks. She's to marry for 2 weeks. That means that the Torah understands, obviously, and is built into the human condition, 2 weeks separation between a man and a woman. In which case, if he causes such a separation, we can give him up to 2 weeks. Beit Hillel says, no, but what if it's a boy? It's only a week. So let's learn it from a Yoledet Zachar. That seems very arbitrary. I mean, so Beit Hillel Nami Digmur Miyoledet Nekeva. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you're telling me that we're supposed to look to the Torah, and the Torah says it's the maximum, or what are you going to the minimum? You're right. Miyoledet Gamil Alchinam. If he would be limited to learning it from Miyoledet, you'd be 100% right. El Beit Hillel Minida Gamrila. He says that. The din of Anida is that she's Tamei Shivas Yomim. So that means the Torah understands that a Shivas Yomim is the norm for separation. I mean, what's the machlokes? I mean, obviously we have a marker for this, a marker for that, and what's the machlokes? But my kamif, okay? Mar sabar midi de shchiach, we midi de shchiach. Mar sabar midi du gorim lo, we midi du gorim lo. So one man, the armor holds, look, people get into fights all the time, okay? So the same way they get into fights all the time, and he answers, he doesn't want to sleep with his wife. Can't stand your guts. That happens every other Sunday. So if that's the case, nidas also happens every month. So that's shchiach. So let's learn it out of nidas, the type of thing that happens often. A week, we're ready to tolerate, but no more than a week. But to learn it out from leida, I mean, that doesn't happen that often. Mashenke Marsav, our Beit Shammai says, why look at it that way? Mididuhu gorim lo, mididuhu gorim lo. Nida, she would be a nida whether she's married to him or she's not married to him. But she sure wouldn't be pregnant if she wasn't married. So therefore, it's all his fault. So since it's all his fault, it means the Torah is willing to now say the maximum that he can cause by making her pregnant, is that she loses 2 weeks of relations with him. Okay, so then over here also, he's causing her to lose those relations by making another 2 weeks. So we look at that, not at the shchichut. Omar Rav Machloket in the Faresh. How do you understand the Mishnah? That Istam makes the neder, and then as 2 weeks are up, we say, well, now you have to divorce her Perek Tuva. No. The Shaila is what the neder was, says Rav. So if the guy says up front, for the next 2 weeks, Osir ba'anas tashmish, right? That will tolerate. But a guy's stomach makes a neder, what do we have to wait 2 weeks for? He made a neder that he's never going to sleep with her. Let him give the ksuba today. Let him divorce her today. She just can't live like that. So therefore, what it's talking about over here, b'mefaresh, avo b'satam, the guy didn't say what he's talking about. Divrei ha'ko yotzili alter v'yitem ktuvah. He has to divorce her on the spot and pay for ktuvah. Shmuel says, no, the Mishnah is talking about the amount of time you wait from the Neder. And he didn't necessarily give any time to the Neder. Afila b'stam nami yamtin. She said, what's the Svara? The Svara shemayim tzapetach l'nidra. The point over here is we're giving him time to get out of the Neder. So that he can find a way in which we can tell him. But if you would have realized, kach, 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 kach. So at that point, 2 weeks is reasonable that he should find a chacham that'll find a way out of the Neder. More than that, let him now give a divorce. Says Gemara, but you know what? This is an old machlokas. They already argued in this machlokas once. Why do we need the same machlokas between Rab and Shmuel twice? We have the machlokas in the following, the Tanakh. Hamadir et ishto milehenot lo. So now he's in a matzav, he's not allowed to take care of his wife because there's a neder that he made that she can't benefit from him. So obviously those things that he has chiyuvim are, that he can't ask on her. That's hers. She has a lien. But the things that he does personally for her. So now he's going to bring her the food. He's going to bring her the money and so on. That's a service. She's getting on directly from that besides what she has. So there what he can do is Ashloshim Yom Yamit Parnas. He can appoint somebody and say, listen, you take care of her. No, I'll work things out with you. So that way I have no contact with her. She's not getting on directly from me.
For 30 days, she can live in that type of matzah. But more than 30 days, not. So you tell me, can you see me take tuva? Okay, similar case to this, except obviously we have the parnas option, which may turn out to be important. And we have the same machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. How to understand the Mishnah? Well, what do we need to repeat it? Rav says over there, what's the meaning of the Mishnah? When it says shloshim yom. Where he said, for the next 30 days, you can't be nene for me directly. But if he stam said, never, satam, yotzivi take tuva, yotzi le'alter has to give her a get right away, just like Rav said in our Mishnah. V'shmuel amar, afil b'satam nami, yamtin. Shmuel says, no, we're talking about he made a stam neder, but maybe, we'll give him 30 days, maybe, shema yimtza petach le'nidro. Isn't that the same achlokas? No, not the same achlokas at all. Tzrich. The yidmar b'ha, I mean, we're talking about in our Mishnah, that he asers her himself, and therefore bets him she can't have sex with him. What's he going to do? Appoint somebody to take care of that? Not exactly. So since over here he cannot appoint a parnas, so he can't possibly appoint somebody to take care of her sexual needs, and therefore 2 weeks he's saying over here, and the psychological tsar is unacceptable. Even though he left it open over there. So it's like, how's she supposed to live with that? Why not? You could always appoint another guy to take care of it. Maybe over there it's not so bad. So we'll give him a month to be ma'ayin in the petach, even though he didn't give a time limit. And he had ma'bayi. If we only had that case, I'd say, okay, the reason that Shmuel is so tolerant to give him time to find a way out of things is ba'achkam Shmuel. But that's because there's a parnas that at least could take care of what it is that he's not able to do for her. Avo ba'ah, in our mission, how's he going to get somebody to take care of what he can't do for her? So maybe over here it would be made. But right off the bat, if he's not giving us a time limit, forget about it. Therefore, Tzricha, we need therefore to know that even over here, Shmuel would also have said, doesn't matter if she initially hears stam, we give 2 weeks or a week, as the case may be, to work it out. Maybe he can find a petach for his neder.